word chaplain can be scary for patients lying in a hospital bed, conjuring up scenes of a priest administering last rites to someone at the point of death. But in fact, much of the work of chaplains is with people who will survive their hospital stay and who benefit sometimes profoundly from the gentle presence of a sympathetic listener with no agenda other than to be there with you in a difficult time. Reverend Michael McElhenney in Boston.
When a chaplain enters the room, people find out we aren't going to physically do anything, that they've been ordered around for tests and who knows what all else, visited by massive amounts of doctors who stand around the bed and sort of, you know, hover or pontificate over them. And when a chaplain can come in and introduce themselves and give them permission to say, do you want me to stay now? Would it possibly be better at a later time? It's like they're saying, you mean I get to pick? And it's like, yeah, you do. And you ask, can I sit down? And they give you permission to do that. And that begins to restore on some level some of the control that they've been missing.
Even when served by dedicated healthcare professionals, patients who've been hospitalized often must negotiate a maze of personal feelings. The illness that landed them there in the first place, sometimes accompanied by physical discomfort, can be hard to manage. On top of that, the patient frequently encounters family concerns and financial worries, and in the case of a serious condition, the questions of life, death, and meaning can loom large. Mike McElhenney directs the chaplaincy service at Massachusetts General Hospital.
Some of the main emotional needs I find when people have coming into the hospital are just a basic fear for what is going on with them and how they will possibly be affected, and that fear I find spreads to their families. Many of them, it is their first time in the hospital, and unfortunately it can be for something really major or really difficult. I also find people can bring the emotion of anger with them, just wondering if it was an accident or if it was some disease like lung cancer where they've never smoked in their life and they want to know why or how this could, you know, possibly happen to them.
I think we as human beings like to be in control more than just about anything, whether we admit to it or not. And it's very frightening to have our surroundings taken away from us, our personal clothes, our belongings, our identity, our sense of self.
Reverend Beth Loomis directs pastoral care at Mount Auburn Hospital in Cambridge, Massachusetts.
We at Mount Auburn deal with a community hospital, so we do have people come and go a lot that we have known. Some people were even born there years ago and will end their lives at Mount Auburn as well. So there is a sense of being connected to community, but also being part of Cambridge. A lot of people, their friends and family have moved away, and a sense of loneliness, which can also make people feel very much out of control.
So is it the feeling of being weak, of being a victim to this illness that is doing this to me, causing this pain to me, perhaps disrupting my family, perhaps threatening my life? Is that what causes people to feel out of control?
Well, I certainly think it can be a reason people feel out of control. The illness invades a person's body and they don't have control over a sense of self physically. They certainly can feel out of control. Also, I think being in any institution, no matter how supportive, and many of our institutions are tremendously supportive, people still have to wait for physicians to come, for nurses to come. They depend on people for food to be delivered, even for the cleaning up of their rooms. Normal activities that you and I might take for granted at home, they have to be dependent on when they're in an institution. And so a major goal of any hospital is to try to provide as much support as we can for people so that they can feel they are in charge of their care and they're part of the team making the decisions. I know a few months ago I was called to the emergency room. A woman had come in and she was terrified. Nothing she was dealing with was life-threatening, but she was terrified. The emergency room was busy. People were coming and going. She had to have an MRI. She didn't know what an MRI was. So they called me down, and all I did was some slight meditation with her, some breathing in and out, a little bit of Reiki to calm her down, and she was able to relax enough to go through the test she had to go through. And then I did follow-up and found out that she was new to the area, Her friends and family were not around. She had a new job she was afraid she was going to lose because she didn't feel well. And so we ended up connecting her to a church community in town, which later on she wrote back and said it was a wonderful connection.